Hey friends, welcome to the podcast, Worldview Matters. I want to talk about manifesting today. So if you don't know what that is, manifesting is the so-called ability to cosmically attract success in life through positive self-talk, visualization, symbolic action. And the more you listen to celebrities these days, the more you realize that they really are in bondage to some very strange ideas. The practice of manifesting is not a new idea, but its popularity continues as its so-called practitioners continue to proclaim its efficacy in their lives. Celebrities like Oprah Winfrey, Jim Carrey, Lady Gaga, Drake, and many others claim to have success about this. Ariana Grande has a song about it. We're going to talk about that with our great pastor friend, Dean Dwyer from Australia. That's next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Okay, so I want to point you to Harbingers Daily, one of our show sponsors, and Dean is one of the contributors there. He's got some great articles, and this one today is called The Secret of Manifestation is Occultism and the Worship of Self. My goodness, do we need to talk about this today? Dean Dwyer, good to connect with you again, brother.
G'day from the land down under, David. Good to see you again, brother.
Yeah, good to see you too. You know, it's always good to have you on, and it's great the technology allows us to do this because we're on different times, different continents.
That's right. Yep.
I can say good morning to you. You can say good afternoon to me.
That's right.
But okay, brother, so great article, an important topic. I'm so glad you decided to write on this. Before we dive in, though, I want to give our viewers and our listeners, our audience is growing, praise God. I want to introduce them to you if they haven't seen you on this podcast before, but also give them an opportunity to pray for you and your wife. Would you please just condense what both of you are going through so we can pray effectively?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. My wife is currently facing her 11th day in hospital at the moment. She had a scheduled operation to have what's called a colectomy, which is the removal of the bowel tissue. She had a very serious inflammatory bowel condition called ulcerative colitis. So for any of your viewers and listeners who live with that condition, they know it can be exceptionally painful. And before they invented this surgery to deal with ulcerative colitis in having the colectomy, it had a mortality rate of 30 to 40%. So it was a condition which did lead to a very slow and painful death. So we appreciate God's wisdom giving that to doctors, surgeons, et cetera. So she's recovering, albeit slowly. And so we're keen to welcome her home again, but it will be a lengthy recovery. And then for me, unfortunately, she'll just get home and then I'll go into hospital. I'll have my third and final spinal surgery. And that's as a result of just minding my own business on a motorcycle back in November 2023, and I got pummeled by a vehicle from behind. So I ended up with some spinal fractures, a couple of spinal operations, and now this will just be the third and final to remove that metal which had been stabilizing everything. So looking forward to getting all of that behind us, getting back to the focus of the ministry, because the times are urgent and we really need to be standing up and speaking out, because there's darkness which is really enveloping the world at the moment.
Amen, brother. So friends, there's an opportunity. Remember to pray for Pastor Dean, and it's Ailsa, right?
Correct. Well done. She'll be so pleased you pronounced her name right, David.
Well, shout out to Ailsa, and get home from the hospital soon. Recover quickly, and you too. God protect you and have his hand all over you when you go in for surgery, brother. So before we get to the article on this manifestation, you wrote another article that's more recent. And it's kind of transitions in a way to what we're going to talk about, the use of sorcery and spirituality in the World War One. That period, would you care to talk a little bit about that before we jump into manifestation?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks to Harbingers Daily. That article is just up very recently. So when we look at sorcery, that's the Greek word pharmakeia. So we often automatically just go straight to thinking about drugs when we think about pharmakeia, but it also introduces things like spiritualism, use of mediums, witchcraft, things like that. So we look four times in history where they've been coupled. And very interestingly, I came across the fact that spiritualism did boom before, during, and after World War One. So that article touches on that. And unfortunately, when people were looking for hope during that very violent and social difficulties during that time, what they did, they didn't turn to a Bible. They didn't turn to Jesus. Unfortunately, they turned to the use of mediums. They turned to seances. And unfortunately, they introduced such deception and demonic deception into their life that these people might have thought that they were finding hope and finding peace, but unfortunately it was a false peace through the use of spiritualism. So this just goes to prove that mankind will search using their own ways and means to try and find salvation and to try and find hope, all the while rejecting the hope which is within the Bible.
Amen. So, brother, it's interesting. I had another stat here from a survey about Christians in America. And in 2007, Pew Research found that 78% of U.S. adults identified, now keyword identified, as Christian. And today it's 62%. Now, when you say identify, you have to understand that a majority of professing Christians do not have a biblical worldview. They might identify as Christian, but they don't understand the Bible and its teachings, especially on some of these issues that we're going to talk about today. So, Dean, walk us into this, starting with the fact that Harbinger's decided to pick a photo of Oprah on an iPhone with The Secret under that. I found that to be very provocative, which is great. So why did you decide to write about this topic of manifesting?
I think sometimes Australians need to apologize to the world for giving them some very strange ideas. And this is actually one of them, because The Secret, which was a film and follow-up book, was actually done by an Australian author by the name of Rhonda Byrne. And so this took off at the time. It boomed and it still is very popular. She still manages a publication company. She still promotes these ideas. There's various YouTube videos which are dedicated to her ideas as well. So even though The Secret isn't spoken about openly, it is still very, very popular. And what came from that, obviously, is the concept of manifestation, coupled with its cousin, which is the law of attraction. And then we start to get into the virtue of vibrational frequency as well. So we'll just walk it back to manifestation. You mentioned in the opening what that is. And so for people who might struggle to really conceptualize what that means, then we turn to the great philosophers of the day. Now, I say that very tongue-in-cheek, because if you wanted to understand some very deep concepts in history, you would turn to the philosophers. And so nowadays, we don't turn to philosophers. It seems that people have their philosophical ideas within the concept of songwriting. So I say very tongue-in-cheek when I say we're going to turn to the great philosopher Ariana Grande, because she explains what manifesting is in her song about Pete Davidson. And this was a song where she wrote about how she believes she manifested him into her life. So these are the lyrics. I mentioned in the article that it was a mediocre song, and that's my Christian grace coming through, David. It's she says, "I thought you into my life. Look at my mind. No better place or a time. Look how they align. Universe must have my back. Fell from the sky into my lap." So the opening words of that verse give you a really good understanding of what they believe happens. I thought you into my life. So in manifesting, what these people do, whether it's pop stars or celebrities, what they do is they think that through the power of their mind, they can create a desired reality.
Yep.
So for a lot of these practitioners, a lot of the adherents to the concept of manifestation, they believe that we can co-create with the universe. So it elevates mankind to the position of creator. And this is why it is so very spiritually dangerous.
What's interesting is this also aligns with this idea of the universe as the all-powerful thing, or instead of God, you remove God, the one true God, and what do you have? So they've got to rely on something. And the way you worded it here in the article is aligning personal energy with that of the universe. Mm-hmm. Thoughts and energy and you, what you speak. And so what I want to ask you, Dean Dwyer, is what makes manifesting or manifestation different from, let's just say, word faith or the prosperity gospel, speaking health and wealth in, into my life or into existence from a so-called, air quote, Christian perspective? What makes manifesting different from that?
Well, it's interesting you raise that because manifesting has found itself, has found its way into the church. Mm-hmm. Now, as we know, we often Christianize things from culture. And one of the great deceptions in the church at the moment is the matter of syncretism. We've got a very syncretistic church in the world at the moment where, unfortunately, we've absorbed a lot of things of culture into the church. We've Christianized them in order to sanitize them from their secular cultural context, and we pretend they are Christian. And this has actually happened in terms of manifestation or new thought, because when you look at the Word of Faith movement in particular, there was a fellow by the name of Phineas Quimby, and he was into New Thought in the early 1800s. Now, Phineas Quimby, his teachings were actually picked up by a Christian by the name of E.W. Kenyon. He incorporated those ideas into Christianity. Then you have a fellow by the name of Kenneth Hagin. Mm-hmm. He popularized those teachings of Kenyon. And from Kenneth Hagin, we get the likes of Kenneth Copeland, we get Joel Osteen, we get Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, people like that. So in effect, manifestation has found its way into the church. It's just not called manifestation. It's called the Word of Faith movement. And that is why it's spiritually dangerous.
Wow. You know, it's funny. That's the second time syncretism has come up today. And Quimby and E.W. Kenyon and these names. It's really interesting because last week we were blessed to have Melissa Doherty on the program, and she's got a new book called Happy Lies and talks about her self-obsessed culture, but she goes back and talks about this new thought movement and the positive thought. There's possibility thinking woven in there, positive thinking, and then there's manifestation, there's visualization. I mean, Joel Osteen talks about that a lot. Visualize your blessing from God. And they try to Christianize. When they talk about visualize, they try to Christianize. Anyway, I'm bad accent there. But so you say this goes back to the 1800s, this law of attraction or manifestation. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so incidentally, Melissa Doherty and Doreen Virtue do very good work in relation to manifestation and revealing the dangers behind it. So I would encourage people, if they want to learn more about it, because I think people have a lot of family members and friends who are involved in this, maybe not so overtly, but they're probably incorporating things into their own lives, which are almost coupled with manifestation and some of these techniques. So check out those ladies, Melissa Doherty and Doreen Virtue, because they really lift the lid on that, particularly as ex-New Agers. They've come out of a lot of these practices, so they really know the dangers of them. So people can look at that. Manifestation has a long, long history. In fact, you know, we could say we go back to the 1800s, but in effect, we could go back to ancient Egypt, because this is really where it all began. And it began with a lot of the Hermetic writers, which incorporate a lot of those ideas into their writings. And this carries forward into history. But it really became popularized by a fellow by the name of Napoleon Hill. And he wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. And that was 1937. And that actually remains a bestseller to this day. So it was and remains a very popular book. But what you'll notice in the practice of manifestation and when people talk about it, the emphasis is always on power and wealth.
Yes.
And this is why it is so attractive to the celebrity cult, because this is exactly what they want. They want power and wealth, because that keeps them at the top of what I call this spiritual Ponzi scheme, which is where they just continue to attract followers, because these people who follow these celebrities, they believe that they can get to the the top of this Ponzi scheme if they follow the same methodology that these celebrity cultists do. And at the moment, they're all promoting manifestation. So this is why it's trickled down into mainstream culture, because people see celebrities doing it and then they think, well, this must work for everybody, so I will incorporate this into my life. Now, this isn't helped because of the fact that it does appear to work in the lives of some people, and we'll get to why that is.
Some people.
Some people. Sabrina Carpenter. Big manifester. In fact, her song Espresso, again, mediocre song, shouldn't be on any Christian's playlist. But her song Espresso, she says that was written as a manifestation technique because she didn't have anyone romantically interested in her at that time in her life. Dua Lipa, very big manifester as well. When she headlined Glastonbury, she came out and said that she manifested that moment, even manifesting the size of the crowd at 100,000. So these people continue to talk openly about it. In fact, it's talked so often that Cambridge had manifesting as their 2024 word of the year.
Wow.
Because it was searched and talked about so much. So
wow. Oh, Dean, we have to pause right there. But I tell you, you got me. You drew me in. I read the book Think and Grow Rich in the 1980s. I was into that movement. I was following Norman Vincent Peale and some of these possibility thinkers and the Tony Robbins and then some of the New Age people. Oh, my goodness. Thankfully, God pulled me out of that. But we've got to take a brief pause. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. So, friends, the book I was talking about by Napoleon Hill, don't read it, but it came out almost over 100 years ago. The idea, based on the idea, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it, meaning your mind, visualize, you can achieve. That's not a godly or biblical idea, but yes, it has crept into churches. We hear pro athletes, even college athletes, talking about manifesting, and they're all into this too, because it's all about visualization, power, money. And let me just go to a passage that Pastor Dean Dwyer gave me before we got on the podcast. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Dean Dwyer, your thoughts?
Amen. And what's important to understand in manifestation is that the practice, what the practice does is it replaces faith in God with faith in self.
Yes.
And it replaces salvation with self-empowerment. This is the danger of it. It essentially, as I said before the break, it seems to work for these celebrities, and they keep talking about it, because they're relying on the demonic realm to seize those things which they want, gratifying the desires of the flesh. So there is a real power behind it, but it's not the power of God. So if it's not the power of God, if it's not in the light, then it has to be in the darkness, because there's no spiritual neutrality in the unseen realm. So what I believe is that they are circumventing the will and the ways of God, and they are turning to the demonic realm in order to seize fame, wealth, power to bring into their life to gratify the desires of their flesh. So it's a real power, but as I said, it's a very, very spiritually dangerous power. So no Christian should be involved in manifestation whatsoever.
You mentioned Rhonda Byrne at the beginning of the podcast and The Secret, and she was inspired to write her book when everything in her life was falling apart, you say. And I guess she suggested, or she read a book in 1910, or 1910 book, I should say, called The Science of Getting Rich. Anyway, would you share, you know, let me just share one or two bullet points and I'll let you respond. These are bullet points from the book. It is the desire of God that you get rich. That's one idea. Another idea is the universe desires you to have everything you want to have. And isn't this a perversion of Psalm 37:4? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's not making God a genie in the bottle, is it? It's saying if we put him first, if our heart is aligned with him, his heart and his will, then our desires will, or yeah, our desires will be what he wants for us. So the desires of our heart will be according to his word. So go ahead and talk more about this.
Yeah, amen. It was bizarre. I mean, Rhonda at the time was going through a period of intense grief. And then I think it was her daughter had suggested that she read this book from Wallace Wattles, The Science of Getting Rich. Now, if I was struggling with the loss of a loved one and someone handed me a book which talks about the science of getting rich, I think I'd be deeply offended because that is not the type of material you need at that particular time. Yeah. But notwithstanding that, that's what came from it. But as you say, David, Psalm 37:4, people often misappropriate this verse because it says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You got to remember that a lot of this sorcery in Galatians 5:20 talks about the use of sorcery. That is a work of the flesh. And so being a work of the flesh, then people look to gratify their own desires. But the idea behind that verse in Psalm 37:4 in particular is that when we truly rejoice or delight in the eternal things of God, in the eternal plan of God, then our desires are going to parallel his, and then we will never go unfulfilled. That's what it's talking about. But unfortunately, people try to use that verse all of the time to say, well, look, God has to give me all of the desires that I have in my mind. But again, if you're thinking like that and coming back to manifestation, it circumvents the work and the will and the ways of God.
Yes.
And it looks to other means to try and fulfill those desires of the flesh. And as I said, what do people often turn to in order to gratify the desires of the flesh? They want money, fame, wealth, etc.
Yeah. Self. I hear a lot of self in this, what I want. But I want to go back to your article when you talk about mind over matter. We hear, most of us have heard that expression in all of our lives in different ways, mind over matter. But this is essentially what people are trying to do. They're trying to manifest something in the natural that starts with a thought or a visualization or a desire in their heart or mind. And you say this approach claims that our thoughts are omnipotent and have the power to shape the external world. And where do these ideas spring from? Occultism. Talk a little bit about that, Dean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Interestingly, before we talk about that, I know that many of us don't like to go back to the COVID period, but during the lockdowns, searches about manifesting spiked 600% during the lockdown period. So we're excited because we saw a spike in terms of Bible sales during that time.
Yes.
But little did we know, and this is only just starting to come out now, that manifesting searches had spiked 600% during that time. Because what was happening is that we were getting media-driven fear, politically-driven fear cast into the minds and hearts of mankind. And so this was a reality that they didn't want to accept because they were told the world was ending, your loved ones are going to die, this is going to wipe out a good portion of the population. So that fear came into the hearts and minds of people. And so they looked for hope. And again, as we reference back to spiritualism rising in World War One, the connection is that we see some great parallels there, that when people sense the world is falling apart, they will look for hope. Now, they didn't look for hope within the Bible. They didn't look for hope within who we call the blessed hope, which is Jesus.
Yes.
And this was the great problem that we experienced and we experience now, because the parallels we see is that at both times, World War One, lockdown period, the church retreated from the public square when it should have
Yes.
advanced, Bible in hand, and said to people, this is where you find the hope within
Yes.
these pages
Amen.
and within the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see some parallels there that at each time the church retreats from the public square, it also draws back the hope, and there's going to be a spiritual vacuum which fills that. And as we saw World War One, and as we saw now today, the spiritual vacuum which fills that is spiritualism, manifestation,
Yes.
law of attraction, but all comes back to occultism. And as I said, that's the problem, is that it relies on the... So that's where it links back to occultism. But it also relies, as I said earlier, on the law of attraction, which is that you can use certain vibrational energies to attract certain things in your life, because a lot of people talk about your vibrational energy, and you've got to change that so you're matching the vibrational energy of those things that you'd like to attract into your life, whether that be cars, cash, friends, etc. So it becomes very, very dangerous. But it made me think back to, in fact, when we're looking at the concept of vibrational energy used within the context of manifestation, made me think back to the Beach Boys, and I just wonder whether they had it right, you know, when they were singing Good Vibrations. Maybe they were trying to attract things into their life.
That's funny, because I'm smiling because I had a roommate in the early 2000s or late 1990s that he was a Christian. He was always talking about, hey, the good vibes. He's talking about good vibes, right? But so these ideas, right? It's not biblical, you know. But anyway, the article, friends, again, is at Harbinger's Daily, and you can look at Dean Dwyer's page there. The secret of manifestation is occultism and the worship of self. Great article, great topic. Brother, good wake-up call for the church, because a lot of people around us, we hear these words in Christian circles and these ideas, and we've got to be strong enough to say, hey, is that biblical? Where is that supported in the Bible? We've always go back to the Word of God. Brother, thank you so much for your time. Just your final thoughts in 30 seconds.
Yeah, amen. I mean, you say it well, and you say it often, that we need to get back to biblical Christianity, because, as I said, amen, we have a lot of syncretism within the church. We've accepted cultural standards into the church that do not belong there. And so coupled with manifestation comes in pride, because pride wants to take things that God may not have ordained for our life. And so we turn back to, you know, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding.
Amen.
In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's what it's all about.
Brother, thank you. Friends, pray for Pastor Dean and Ailsa. See you again soon.
Thank you, brother.
Friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.